You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, more than three quarters of men and women diagnosed with pancreatic cancer die within a year of diagnosis, and just 5 out of 100 will survive for more than 5 years. But according to new research, nearly half of us haven't heard of the disease, and even more of us don't really know what to look for when it comes to symptoms. Now, the charity Pancreatic Cancer Action want to change this, and I'm joined now by Ali Stunt, who's the founder of Pancreatic Cancer Action and a 10-year survivor of the disease. Hello.
Hi.
Reading through some of the information on this, Ali, it's quite shocking. I thought to myself, why are we so ignorant about this? And I thought, I actually don't know much about it either. I've heard of it, and I know of people who have had it. But how many people are actually affected by pancreatic cancer in the UK?
Across the UK, it's nearly 10,000 people are newly diagnosed each year, so it's not an insignificant number. It is the 10th most common cancer, and it is, sadly, the 5th most common cause of cancer death in the UK. So today, for example, this is World Pancreatic Cancer Day, we know that 26 people will be newly diagnosed with pancreatic cancer today. And unfortunately, 24 people will die from the disease.
Stark facts. I mean, it's such a serious condition. Why are we so ignorant of it?
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's a bit too hard to deal with. And I think a lot of people only find out about it when they have actually either got it or a loved one has got it. And then they're immersed in this dreadful world that is pancreatic cancer. There has been a huge lack of investment into pancreatic cancer. If you look at the stats for other cancers, for example, you will see that there has been really good improvements in survival rates since the 1970s, and unfortunately pancreatic cancer has not seen any improvement at all in survival rates. So lack of funding, lack of awareness, and we know that only 6% of the UK population actually knows about the symptoms of pancreatic cancer. And those of us who are diagnosed with the disease, only half of us have ever heard of it before. So, you know, we at Pancreatic Cancer Action are really trying our hardest to raise the profile of the disease itself, and also to raise awareness of the signs and symptoms, and to encourage people to go to their doctors.
You've been through this. What was it like for you, if you don't mind me asking, the symptoms? How did you become aware of it?
Well, my very first symptom was actually a diagnosis of diabetes, which sort of came out of the blue. I wasn't a candidate for it. I wasn't overweight. I had no family history, and both my GP and I thought, that's a bit odd. So we now know that about 30% of pancreatic cancer patients have a new diagnosis of diabetes 1 to 2 years before diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. So that was my first symptom, but I didn't recognise it as such, nor did my GP. But then about sort of 9 months later, I started getting other symptoms like pain on eating. So I'd have a meal, and then when it went to my stomach, I get this dreadful sort of like an attack pain, and I'd be doubled over. But I also had pain in my back, and it wasn't lower back, it was mid back, where the bra strap sits and slightly to the right of the clasp, and then that radiated round to the front. Now, initially it was sort of like back discomfort, but over a period of 2 months the pain escalated rapidly. So I went from the beginning of that period to taking regular paracetamol or ibuprofen, and then ended up on morphine and tramadol. So, you know, in a short space of time, I was on a very high level of painkiller. So I also had change in bowel habit. I had lots of diarrhea, which wasn't normal for me. And I also had lost a lot of weight, and I wasn't trying to lose weight. So all of those put together are symptoms of pancreatic cancer. But unfortunately, despite going backwards and forwards to my GP, they dismissed them as nothing to worry about.
And the treatment, what was that like?
Well, I was fortunate in terms of having been diagnosed in time for surgery, because that's our only potential for a cure right now. And I had a major operation to remove 80% of my pancreas and all of my spleen. And it's an operation that lasted sort of 5-6 hours. Thankfully, being young, I was 41 at the time, and I recovered very well from that operation, because aside from having pancreatic cancer, I was fit. So I then went on to have combination chemotherapy, two drugs, gemcitabine and cisplatin. And the cisplatin, platinum-based drug, which was quite toxic, but I was able to tolerate it. I wouldn't say it was a walk in the park, but I tolerated it okay. And then after 6 months of that, I had a further 6 weeks of chemo radiotherapy, where I had to carry a pump with me 24/7, putting a low dose of another chemotherapy drug into my system while I was having daily radiotherapy treatments for about 6 weeks. And I have to say, even though I was fit, by the time I'd finished all of that, I was on the floor. I was completely exhausted. But, you know, I'm still here to talk about it. So, and I have a few hangovers from the treatment. But, you know, I live a normal life now. And it's more than most patients can expect with pancreatic cancer.
Do we know what triggers it? Are there things in our lifestyle that can cause it?
Absolutely. And I think everybody knows about the association with smoking and lung cancer and maybe heart disease. But I don't know whether people really know that a third of cases are attributable to smoking. So, and this is one of the confirmed sort of environmental impacts that affects pancreatic cancer in terms of causing a DNA change. The other impact is obesity, which is increasingly common. So around about 12% of pancreatic cancers are associated directly to people being obese. So with, you know, we're all getting a little bit larger in this country, and I think it's going to impact on diseases like pancreatic cancer. There's also a hereditary element. Now, this is small, though. It's about 5 to 10% of patients have a hereditary disposition to getting pancreatic cancer. So what I will say is that if you've got two or more first-line relatives, so mother, father, brother, sister, who have had or have pancreatic cancer, then your risk is increased by 50% over the normal population. Doesn't mean by any stretch that you're going to get pancreatic cancer, but you just need to be aware and make sure that your medical team, your GP, is aware of that family association, so that if you ever have symptoms that might look like pancreatic cancer, you can be investigated quickly.
Where's a good place to go and get information about this so that you can recognise symptoms if they occur?
Yes, you've come to the pancreaticcanceraction.org website, and we've got a wealth of information there on the symptoms. We've got symptoms diaries to download if you're concerned that you might be having the symptoms of pancreatic cancer. We've also got information on treatment options. We have lots of information on how people can help us raise awareness, and some of the campaigns that we're currently doing with our national symptoms advertising campaign that we have under our Pancreatic Cancer Aware program. And we also have really important and really concise and clear patient information in modular form, so people can pick it up at whatever stage of their pancreatic cancer journey they are on. And those are free booklets that can be either downloaded or we will send them out to you free of charge. And we send them out to hospital units completely free of charge as well.
Ali Stunt, founder of Pancreatic Cancer Action, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.